over to the Lord. So much, Sister Sharon, and if we ain't got nobody singing special tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll bring this little short message, and we'll hightail it home, amen. Mm-hmm. All right.
Sound like a widow.
I was watching the window out there, I was hoping Patrick would show up. I was going to, solicit him to sing tonight. I done hit Brenda, and she don't feel like singing. That's okay, we understand that. We're going to go to God in prayer. I got an update on Brother James. They say, you know, that it may not be as bad as they're thinking. It might not be that bad. We don't know. We're just going to keep praying for him that he'll be able to pull through this. As a blessing to have Sister Carolyn here this morning.
Yes, it was.
Boy, she turned up her song all over the place. I could tell off the bat. She is feeling better. I think she is kind of like Thomas. I think she loved church. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, she
does. That was a good service this morning. I thank God for it.
Sunday, and I talked her out of it. I said, Carol, I think you're pushing it now.
Yeah.
So you better stay home. So, but she laid down today and took a nap because her neck was hurt.
Yeah, she's a little bit crick in her neck.
She's out here online right now.
All right.
Yeah.
But as a blessing, seeing her here is a blessing to see Ronnie Lindsay. Step out there.
Amen.
Patrick said that the Lord was dealing with him last Sunday.
Yeah.
Preached about, you know, that one, you know, that needed to get to Jesus. Had four of their hip him there, you know, that need. And had the naysaying and all of that. Really, the Lord really spoke to him through that. And And he wanted to make sure he's ready. I said, amen, ain't nothing like making sure. The Bible tells us to make sure.
Yeah.
And it says work it out with fear and trembling. And you know, one thing you want to know, and that's you want to know where you're going to spend eternity, because you're going to spend it somewhere. Amen.
That's right.
So he's pretty serious about coming up here. Pretty serious about praying, making sure. Amen. And we want to remember him tonight. I know the devil jumps right on your back just as soon as you make any kind of profession. Man, he got on me right off the bat. Jesus, of course, he's just pitching, but he's just been baptized by John the Baptist, and he's just telling John, it's surplus, become of all rights. He just set an example there and didn't have no need of being baptized, no need of being saved. He's without sin. But anyway, just as soon as that happened, well, here come that old tempter, that old devil, and started kind of contradicting. If you're really son of God, command these stones, they may be bread, and cast yourself down. It's written, he'll bear thee up in his angels bear thee up in their arms, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Then he said, if you'll just worship me, I'll give it all to you. I'll show them all the kingdoms, the world, the glory of them. But those temptations are there for a reason. The devil, he's a tempter, and he will come on you, buddy, and try to talk you out. If you've got anything, try to talk you out of it.
That's right.
We want to pray tonight. A lot of need tonight. We'll just go down the list. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good service this morning. Thank you for Brother Ronnie coming forward this morning, Lord. That's a blessing that we didn't anticipate. Thank you for that. Thank you for Sister Carolyn being here this morning, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, that was having her here. Thank you, Father, for Patrick and Sarah getting their house. Lord, we're so happy for them. And I pray you bless them, Lord, and help them get that thing where they wanted it, Lord, and be able to enjoy it. Father, we pray, Lord, for Brother James, Sister Patty. Lord, help Brother James there, Father, with that situation he's dealing with about passing blood. Lord, we just pray you'll help him with that. Help Patty, Lord, to get, Lord, to recover, Lord, from where she fell, hit her eye. We pray for that. I pray for Phyllis, who wasn't able to be here this morning. No doubt, Lord, she probably wished she had been here. But we pray for her, pray for Mitchell, pray for Mitchell's sister, Bessie, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, Lord, I talked with Sister Starr out there in the parking lot. Lord, she had a long list of needs, and Lord, there was no way we could even mention them here tonight. She said just call them unspoken requests, and we want to pray for them requests, Lord.
Yes.
Comfort them, Lord, in the loss of that little infant child. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Rita, that was here this morning, had an unspoken request, and Lord, she got as usual, Lord, got blessed real good being here this morning. We thank God for that. Father, we pray, Lord God, tonight for Sybil and Sharon. They're here tonight. Sister Brenda, Lord, still having trouble. Lord, we pray for her. Pray for her friend Lisa, recovering from a car wreck, having hurt her back. We pray, Lord Father, for Carolyn. Got a crick in her neck. We pray for Sister Joanne Smith, Lord, that's home watching right now.
Yeah.
And Lord, we love Sister Joanne. We just put her in your tender care. Pray for Sister Sue Bone, Brother Denny, Lord. We miss them, Lord. I pray you'll help them, Lord, with their health. I pray, Father God, Lord, for Mark and Kay. Lord, Mark's still having trouble with pain. Kay, Lord, still struggling with her kidney working. And we thank God it is working. We pray, Lord Father, for Cheryl, her sister, that was in a car wreck. We pray for her. Pray for Derek. Pray for Little Lick River. Pray for Mark's two sisters, Bonnie and Patty. Patty's daughter, Denise, and Bonnie's request for Kevin. Bonnie requested prayer for their mother this morning. We pray for that. Lord, we just got a long list of prayer. We pray for Carl, Larry, Larry and Leroy and Serenity. Carol, Lord, having some health issues there. Got a new job down there at Gilead. Help her in that job. Bless her and help her with her health. We pray, Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, for all of your children, Lord. There's so many, Lord. I don't know if we can name them all or not. But we pray, Lord, Father, for James. Start coming with Star. I know he hurt his foot. Hadn't seen him in a while. I'd like to see him. With her, Lord, we pray for James, pray for Star and James Jr., pray for Jordan and Casey. I pray, Lord, again for Ronnie and Lindsay. Ronnie, Lindsay, and Faye. Lord, gave his heart to Jesus. But Lord, their health is getting frail. We pray for them, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord Father, also for Miranda Mark as a blessing. Send him here this morning. Pray for Caden and Taven. The card I got from Caden, Lord, he wants to be in church. Can't figure out how to get off of work. I pray you'll help him with that and bless him with regards to that. Lord, help our country, Lord. I know it's under attack. I know we're in the last days. I know your word says in the last days perilous times will come. And Lord, we just pray, dear God, Lord, for Lord, your children. May they be wise as serpent, harmless as doves. Lord, may you lead us and guide us through these treacherous waters. You're the good shepherd. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
But Ed, you getting a call over there, brother?
Yeah, but I can't delete it.
That's all right. It won't bother me a bit.
Maybe they'll quit.
We're going to take our text. We're probably being censored, to be honest with you. We're going to take our text out of the book of Jonah. Now, we're not going to stay in the book of Jonah.
I tried to delete it, but
we're going to start there in the book of Jonah. And
invite Joanne Smith. Okay, request. Okay. I think I got it all.
All right. It's technology. I'm not no expert. I don't guess I ever will be. It's over my head.
It's happening now.
But we're preaching tonight on some fish Jesus used, and we're going to start with this big old fish here, Jonah. We got many more, but we're going to read the whole first chapter of the book of Jonah just to have some scripture to help us tonight. And we'll start there in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We talked a little bit about wickedness this morning in Sunday school. And you know, the Lord told us not to join hand. But here, this city, Nineveh, they've become so wicked that it's come up before the Lord, and he's wanting, he's wanting to spare Nineveh. Jonah, he's like most preachers, he ain't got it figured out. But anyway, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare there. We're in the book of Jonah, verse 3, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's on the run.
Yeah.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. I tell you, one kind of trouble you don't want, and that's being trouble with God. Amen.
Right.
But here Jonah is. He's on the run, and he's on the ship on his way to Tarsus. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. You know what? That's about the hour we're living in today.
Yeah.
People, they've got them a little old God of some kind.
Yeah,
but Jonah's got the real God. And he's on, he's involved in this storm here. These mariners are afraid. They cry every man unto his God. They cast forth the ware that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. They're pretty fearful. They're pretty scared. They're worried about drowning. But Jonah's gone down to the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Reminds me of me. Right in the middle of all this turmoil, right in the middle of all this trouble, Jonah just goes down and goes to sleep.
That's me.
So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now Jonah's not thinking about dying. They are. Jonah's thinking about sleeping in the middle of the storm. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, if you do know God, you can sleep through the storm. I can tell you that right now. I've been there, done that.
Yes,
Ben said to everyone, to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, and we may know for whose cause This evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Boy, that's pretty precise here. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, what hast thou done? Or why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. You know, when you got a child of God around you and they're not right with God, you'll feel the effects of it too. I'll just tell you it right now.
Right.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempest against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, you know these men, they probably was in awe about this. They're in right in the middle of a tempest. They throw Jonah in the sea, and now there's a great calm. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, this verse right here is the whole reason I read every bit of what I just read to you. This is what I'm preaching on tonight. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Like I said, we're preaching tonight on some fish that Jesus used, and this is the first one of some we're going to talk about tonight. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes. Lord, open our understanding. May we be able to see this, Lord.
Yes.
Just like we were there when it happened. I pray you'd make it known to us, Lord, tonight. Reveal, Lord, Father, tonight, through your great word, your mighty will, your great mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this fish, the Bible said it was prepared of the Lord. And its goal or its job was just to swallow up Jonah.
That's
all it had to do, Brother Ed. And I've done a lot of fishing in my life, and Brother Ed has too. We both like to fish. One of my favorite kind of fishing, Brenda's topwater fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you throw that bait out there and it don't sink. It stays on the top, and you move it a little bit and there'll be a big swirl around it, Sybil. Mm-hmm. Move it a little bit more, look like you flushed a toilet. I mean, one just suck it in there, you know, and you set the hook and it's peeling line off. Well, old Jonah's like a topwater bait out there in that ocean out there,
right,
bobbing up and
right
down.
Yeah.
And Brother Ed, this fish was right where it's supposed to be.
Yes, that's right.
To do a job that God had made it to do.
Amen.
Now, Jonah's a disobedient preacher, and he's in trouble. And I know a lot of disobedient preachers. A lot of them ain't what they're supposed to be, ain't doing what they're supposed to be. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, he said, I'll receive a reward.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. But he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, this is one of them woe unto me moments in the life of this preacher. And Jesus did call Jonah a preacher. In Matthew chapter number 12, verse 41, he called this great fish a whale. And in verse number 2, he said, Jonah, not only did he preach, but he said Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. So he was a accommodating Joan as being a great preacher.
Yeah.
And he also accommodated that fish as being an obedient whale, one that Jesus had prepared to take care of this disobedient preacher here. Amen.
Yeah.
This is Jonah here, the Bible says in the next chapter that he's in the whale's belly. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers pray. Some of them can pray pretty good. Some of them, I'll tell you, I pray along with them, say, Lord, help them. But I want to say Jonah's probably praying the best he's ever prayed in his life, Sybil. I mean, he's in the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
Now, you talking about getting a man up to where he can pray. I believe Jonah's putting out some of his best prayers right here.
Yeah, boy.
He's not taking no ears. The Bible said he's crying. And he's crying out of the belly of this whale. And it says he prayed until the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And I'd say he's doing some pretty serious praying here, amen?
Yes, he did.
And he's been swallowed, and he didn't give up. He's praying unto his God out of this whale's belly. He's drowned, verse 5. Says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. I mean, he done swallowed water. It doesn't take very much water for you to drown. But he says here, according to verse 5, he said, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were up about my head. He wasn't in the Titan going down to see the Titanic that imploded before it ever got there. I don't know all the details on that. But he's in a fish, especially prepared for this problem or this ordeal he's going through. And this fish is doing exactly what it's designed to do. He's went down to the bottom. He's done except for faith. He's admitted his sin there in verse number 8. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That old devil probably told him, Sharon, you can make it to Tarsus. Just get in the boat. You don't have to go down to Nineveh.
Yeah.
And you know, he brings out a great sin right here. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's guilty, and he's confessing that. But in faith, Jonah says, I will sacrifice, I will pay my vow, salvations of the Lord. The next verse, verse 9. Now he's making some pretty bold statements right there. He says, I'm still going to sacrifice to you, Lord, with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed, salvations of the Lord. You talking about a preacher getting right with God? I mean, I think Jonah may have rededicated his life right here. I don't know. But look here, verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now Jesus had prepared this fish just for Jonah. It's done everything that it was prepared to do. It's got the attention of this backslidden, disobedient preacher. It's got him right where he needs to be. He said there in verse number 2, out of the belly of a hell cried out. I mean, he's going through it. We was talking this morning about a man-made hell. Well, this is a God-made hell. But it's not the one he prepared for the devil. It's the one he prepared for Jonah.
Yeah.
And out of the belly of that hell, Brother Ed, Jonah's crying out.
Yeah.
And he's praying. And he's believing. He hadn't gave up. You find that verse 9. He said, I will sacrifice. I will pay my vows. Salvation to the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And it vomited out Jonah on dry land. You know, God's got Jonah's attention now. Verse number 1 of chapter 3 said, and the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it The preaching that I bid thee, I told you I'm just a messenger boy. But here Jonah is now. He's not looking for a ship to go to Tarsus. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city. It took you 3 days to walk through the city of Jonah. I mean the city of Nineveh. Boy, I'm scrambled tonight. The city of Nineveh was a city so big it would take you 3 days to walk all the way through it. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, he's a street preacher. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what he smells like, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, he's not dragging his feet no more. And in verse 5, the people of Nineveh, they believed God. I guess, you know, just to see Jonah. He's been in the fish bellies for 3 days.
Yeah.
And he probably smells about like a fish. Like I said, I don't know what he looks like. Don't know what he smells like. But I'll tell you one thing. He's on board delivering this message. So the people of Nineveh, they believe God and proclaim the fast. I wish America did what Nineveh did. And put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. One of the prayers I pray right every morning is for God to open the eyes of America. And I've got a long list from the President, Vice President, Congress, Senators, Legislators, Judges, Mayors, Governors, Military, State Troopers, Sheriffs, Policemen, Firemen, First Responders, Doctors, and Nurses. After I go down that list, I'm just praying that they'll do like these people at Nineveh did, that they would acknowledge that God is speaking to them, that they'd acknowledge that they need to do something with this Jesus, which is called Christ. And Jonah got through, and I tell you what, they put on the sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. And God saw that they repented. In verse number 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He'd said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now, that whale get any recognition for this? Got any books wrote about the whale talking about Jonah?
Yeah.
Jonah, that big name preacher, Jonah. I mean, here he went down there and 120,000 people that didn't know their left hand and their right hand repented. The whale didn't got no recognition at all. And yet that whale was the very vessel that God used to get Jonah to Nineveh. Matter of fact, that whale, the Bible said it bombed him out on dry ground. It didn't even throw him out in the ocean. Took him all the way to the shore and delivered him a kind of a limousine prepared by God that served its purpose, but no recognition at all given to that whale.
Somebody said Jonah hit the ground running.
You better believe he did. And I'll tell you right now, bud, he didn't look over his shoulder neither. He had his eyes set on Nineveh.
That's right.
And we're going to leave Jonah and the whale, but that's quite a statement. But there's some small fish that Jesus used.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 17, if you didn't want to turn there, I believe I will myself. Matthew chapter 17. Peter's in trouble again.
Yeah.
He's like me. He opened his mouth. In Matthew chapter 17, verse number 24. Oh, I know when I'm in Luke. I thought that don't look right.
Yeah.
Luke 17 ain't it. It's Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doeth your master pay tribute? And I just want you to know, Peter, he always panics when he's being asked questions. That's why he denied the Lord 3 times. But here Peter, he answered verse 25. He answered yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers? Now, Peter, like I said, the question was, does Jesus or your master pay, does he pay tribute? And the answer brought confrontation, and the confrontation brought an explanation there in verse 26. Jesus asked him, who do they take tribute of? And Peter answers, says unto Jesus, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? And then he got the solution to the problem. Verse number 27, Jesus tells Peter, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook." Now, I've made a lot of casts. I baited hooks. I put on artificial baits. And I've made a lot of casts, Sharon. But I never caught no fish like this one Peter caught. By hand, I do more fishing probably. But anyway, Jesus has confirmed him about what he said, about him paying tribute.
Yeah.
And got Peter a little bit in trouble, but Jesus is going to get him out. And Brittany tells him, go down to the Sea of Tiberias. And he said, cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. I mean the first fish that you catch, Peter. Open his mouth and you'll find a piece of money in that fish's mouth. And he said, when you open his mouth, he said, thou shalt find a piece of money, take and give unto them for me and for thee. You see, Peter, he kind of fell into this, and the Lord got him out of it.
Yeah.
Peter answered when he should have kept his mouth shut. The Bible says a wise man studies the answer, and he didn't study the answer. He opened up his mouth and said, yeah, my Lord, he pays his tithes. I mean, he kind of scared the IRS. Shows up on the doorstep and you know, you've been
delinquent,
served notice on you, ain't paid your taxes or something like that. I guess delinquent would probably be a good word. But you know, the IRS, we got 87,000 new IRS armed officers now, and I'm kind of shuddering thinking about what all the kind of trouble they could do. But in this trouble Peter's in, the Lord helps him. The Lord said, Peter, I tell you what, you go fishing, buddy. You go down to the sea, and he said, you cast in a hook. Most time I go fishing, I don't catch them on the first cast. Sometimes, but most time it's not. Most time you got to fish and fish and fish and stay with it to catch anything. But anyway, he said, you cast in first a hook.
Now, Brenda.
And he said, you'll take up the first fish that comes up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, you'll find a piece of money, Peter. Go take that money and pay your taxes and mine. Now, the Lord has used a big fish, and the Lord has used a small fish, but then you got the Lord using a bunch of fish in Luke chapter number 5. And this is where Peter met the Lord. I like this story right here in Luke chapter number 5. You got a Jesus here, the people's pressing upon him to hear the word of God. I wish that was true today. As he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They're done fishing. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now the Lord has showed up. The people are kind of pressing him to hear the word of God, and it makes more sense if he could kind of get out there and speak to all of them than having them all just climbing all over him. You know, I love children. I ain't got a better problem. I'll hold them in my arms. I'll tell you right now, I'll accommodate any kind of situation with children. Well, that's about what this is like. The Lord's just trying to make the best of it. So he gets in a ship, goes out a little bit from the shore, and sharing all he's doing is teaching them and preaching to them the Word of God. And he's using Peter's boat. I don't know what it looked like, but the Lord used it. And when he got done with it, he told Peter, he said, now go out there and launch your net down. Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night long and taken nothing. I've done plenty of that. I don't know how many times I've fished all night long and never caught a thing. But the reason this is going to be different, I said these are some fish that Jesus used. You know that big whale that swallowed up Jonah? They got some kind of a, I don't know what the name of it is. They call it Megalodon or something like that. Some kind of great big shark. Got teeth big as my hand, 10 inches long, maybe bigger than that, real wide. Y'all have seen the big old teeth?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I can't prove this, but I personally believe those are fish that the Lord prepared for those giants who were in the days of Noah, kind of like the cleanup crew to go out, you know, and devour all of this wickedness that was in the flood of Noah's day. I do believe in big sharks. Had just one purpose, that was to get rid of all the giants and all the filth of that day. And you know, Jonah, not Jonah, but Noah was safe in that ark, and his family is safe in that ark. But I believe everybody out there, I believe them great old big teeth made short works of me, man. But God prepares fish. And this bunch of fish right here, Jesus, he tells Peter, go let your net down. And Peter says, we fished all night long and taken nothing there in verse number 5. And then Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they did, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake, and they called for others to come help them. And when they came, what happened to my page here? Oh, here we go. I was on the wrong chapter there. When the others came, they filled the boats up to the point that the boats began to sink there in verse number 7.
Yeah.
Then when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I'm a simple man, O Lord. I just want you to know, God used them fish to show Peter not only who he was, but also he showed Peter his need of him.
Yeah.
And Peter repented right there and he said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a simple man. But Lord wasn't wanting to depart from Peter. He was looking for an honest man he could use. And here Peter is, said, I'm not even usable. I'm a simple man. Depart from me, Lord. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They were just astonished. Yeah, they were just astonished. Jesus had told them fish at night, don't go in them nets. They fished all that long, caught nothing. I've been there and done that. But I'll tell you what them fish was ready for. They just ready for Jesus to tell them to get in that net. That's all right, Brother Ed. And when them fish went in that net, them fishermen went nuts. They trying to get them fish in the boat. The net's breaking. But they got enough in the boat, Sharon, that their boat sunk. Their fellows, James and John Zebedee's boys, they come over to help them. Their boat's sinking. And they're just caught up in the moment here. Fish everywhere. They've hit the lottery. They're rich for life. And the Lord says to them here, he says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And they brought their ships to land and forsook all and followed him. The last scenario here is just like this right here, except it's at the end of Peter's life. And it's found in John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. Peter's done denied the Lord 3 times. He's about as backslidden as you can get. And the only thing he knows to do is go back to fishing. Peter said, I go fishing. Verse 3, he said, we go with thee. His disciples that Jesus was with Peter.
Yeah.
Peter said, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night again they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus, you're talking about adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, and this should have rung a bell, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I just want you to know, Peter may not have realized that was the Lord.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, he got on board pretty quick.
Yes,
the Bible says that he girded his fisher's coat unto him, and for his naked did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I mean, that's about 230 feet from shore. And then when they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon. And Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which you've now caught. And Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And yet for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. The Lord's still just teaching them.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, I thought about this. Man, God's teaching me. He's showing me, Eddie, you don't have to be that good a fisherman. Eddie, you just need me.
Yeah,
have success. Man, me and my daddy, we used to fish. My dad was a serious fisherman. I was pretty serious myself. But there's no telling, Brother Ed, how many times God told that big bass, get on my hook. Go over and get Eddie's bait. I set the hook, I got one. Daddy, he set the hook, he got one. And we just took it for granted. God spoke to that fish.
Yeah.
And Jonah spoke to that. God spoke to that fish and had Jonah and told him, go spit Jonah out on the dry land. We underestimate all that God does. We take for granted everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll tell you what, just tonight here, just some fish that God used, that so encouraged me. I realize God is in charge. He's in control. And we wear our little heads off.
Yeah, we do.
We wonder how we're going to make it. And God says, you don't have to worry.
That's right.
Just let me take care of you. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to convey the thought tonight. Through these illustrations, these fish, God was taking care of everything that was needed.
Yeah.
Took care of them disciples. Took care of Jonah. Even though he deserved to be down there at the bottom of the ocean like them people in that submarine Titan. The Lord, he took care of Jonah. Got him right where he needed to be. That was tender love, tender mercy. And even with Peter here, didn't understand, the Lord, even with his situation, helped him through all the problems he had. He helps us through all of our problems. Mm-hmm. God uses simple things like fish to meet our needs. Uses simple things. We wonder how. We don't have to wonder how. He's all we need. He's our all in all. And I wish I had enough sense to know all that God's done for me, all God's done for you. Man, I'm telling you what, we're in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
He is the good shepherd. We're teaching this coming Sunday night, again on eternal life. We done covered the source of eternal life. This Wednesday night we'll be talking about the surety of that eternal life. And the Lord's got this thing all fixed up. We don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
Just like these fish right here, He's in control. I'll tell you right now, but He can decide whether the ship sinks or floats. He can decide whether you catch any or not. He can handle whatever problem we got. That's why the Bible tells us, cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He'll sustain thee. But I just want to preach tonight on some fish that Jesus had used. Father, we thank You for the thought tonight. Thank You for these that are here tonight that got to hear this. Lord, I pray it be a blessing to them. I pray it would cause them, Lord, to believe You more and encourage themselves more in the Lord. And Lord, that they might be able to see the little things that You use in their life, Lord, to encourage them and help them through the day. Bless Your children, I pray, dear God, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight? And if not, we'll turn you loose. I told you it wasn't going to be long tonight. All right. Let's stand tonight. Let me see if I can shut this thing off here.